You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
We spoke with organizer Nathan Crompton of the newly formed Vancouver's Renters Union. That group is taking the popular model of the labor union and applying it to tenancy lease. Nathan Crompton is an organizer with the Renters Union and on the editorial collective of the civic affairs blog, The Mainlander. Nathan co-authored an article on that blog about the mayor's recent appointment of the Blue Ribbon Affordability Task Force. Here is that interview, starting with an update as of yesterday on the struggle at the Mount Pleasant Housing Society.
They got a letter this morning which said the decision to allow the landlord to reapply for the 45% rent increase is now no longer effective. So their ability to come back with better evidence was reversed. So I think that means that the current application is over. The possibility of them coming back with the 45% increase is over. But who knows what they're thinking, because I did get an interview with the president of the Mount Pleasant Housing Society, who owns Lyons Manor, and they have said that they're willing to do whatever it takes to get the rent increase. So, and they do have paid lawyers, so I wouldn't be surprised if they did come back with something, maybe something more modest or a better case. But for now, the fight is over, but I would imagine it's in the long term going to come back in some form. Because the area is being gentrified so quickly, and because property values are going up so quickly in that specific three-block kind of area, the one part that won't be hard for them is to make the case that property values and rents are higher than what they're charging. So there's a special loophole in the Residential Tenancy Act that allows them to argue that since they're in a gentrified area, they can have special rent increases above the normal 1% plus inflation. So the more that neighborhood changes under the current municipal leadership of Vision, whose housing policy is nothing but gentrification and revitalization and market development, it can be expected that that area is going to keep being high value, which is not good for low-income renters.
Let's talk about Vision and the city council and the mayor's housing policies. In the article, it describes this task force as kind of a drawing on a similar process as this government has undertaken in the past. What is this current task force, and how is it building off past Vision housing policy?
It's similar to the 2009 process in where they got development insiders together in their words, to address affordability, which meant come together and find out ways to build affordable housing. What it really meant was the development of a policy called STIR, which was big tax breaks and fee exemptions for the developers who wanted to build rental housing in Vancouver. The rental housing had no limits on what rents were going to be, so they did end up being luxury rental units, you know, like up to $2,000 each for a one bedroom per month. Nothing else. That's all they came to, was that, you know, if they could give developers tax breaks and fee exemptions, that all of a sudden the affordability crisis would be solved. But of course it wasn't. Similarly, the task force that they have put together now is made up exclusively of development industry insiders, landlord lobbyists, construction industry representatives, and literally zero people representing renters, and literally no one, of course, representing low-income people and the people affected by the housing crisis. Zero people in that respect. So it's probably predictable what they're going to come up with, especially if you look at the terms of reference for why the task force was formed. The terms of reference explicitly say that the only way to solve the housing crisis is to demolish or sell existing social housing and public housing in the city of Vancouver. And the idea there is similar to what they did at Little Mountain, which is to sell huge parcels of land, which are public, to the development industry with the idea of generating money to have some project in the future, which may or may not happen. And Little Mountain is a perfect example of how that housing promised is literally 5 years overdue. So instead of building more housing when it's desperately needed, they're coming up with these developer-friendly schemes to destroy existing housing and replace it one for one, maybe. But we're saying that no low-income housing should be destroyed, period, because there's a housing crisis, and the housing crisis is specifically a crisis of supply. There's a housing shortage. So destroying housing is not at all going to solve the problem, obviously.
And so the individuals on the task force represent organizations that will be, that profit off of the affordability. I have a list here of some of the names: Eric Martin, Peter Simpson, Ellen Boniface. I don't know if you want to speak to any of those names in particular, but how do you think the city would take the recommendations of this task force?
By looking at the terms of reference, you can sort of figure out that they already know what the recommendations will be. So in a sense, the task force is a sort of public relations effort to have some experts come to conclusions that council already knows that they want. So the recommendations are going to be what's already in the terms of reference and what's already been done with STIR, which is more tax breaks for developers, more selling off of public land, more selling off of social housing. Those are the three things that you can expect to come from the affordability task force.
Now, you've been involved with other housing rights campaigns before, but now involved in a project to unionize renters. How would such a project be strategic in light of these other community organizing campaigns that are being done in the city?
A lot of the organizing around housing is neighborhood based or action based, and it's been successful in the past. But one thing that has sort of been missing is a long-term organization that can organize renters into a collective body capable of organizing on behalf of renters. So everyone who speaks about affordability fails to kind of get that it's renters who are affected, and that on the other end of the equation, homeowners are the ones benefiting from that, from the housing crisis, and landlords and developers. And of course, that group of people refers to renters explicitly as, you know, mortgage helpers or, sources of profit or people who are able to generate as much money as possible for the people who own, you know, the few people who own the vast majority of the land in the city. So the idea is that once renters are organized, we can collectively make ourselves felt in the housing market and organize for cheaper rents and more secured rights and guaranteed right to housing.
Are there renters unions in other cities that you all here in Vancouver are looking to as a model?
There's a history of renter organizing in Europe that we kind of know about, in Sweden. Although, you know, we're really more basing our thinking off of the local trade union model. So just in the same way that workers should and can get together to organize for their rights and better pay in the workplace, renters can and should get together and organize for better rights and, you know, cheaper rents in their buildings. And so there are very many examples elsewhere But locally, there's, you know, the trade union movement, and that's sort of our model, I think.
And so let's say we're both renters who have landlords who are violating the Residential Tenancy Act. There are formal procedures that we're supposed to follow with the Residential Tenancy Branch. Is that process adequate for protecting renters against their landlords, and how would the union be different?
The stuff that just, everything that just happened at Lyons Manor shows how the legal framework for renting in BC under the Residential Tenancy Act is not adequate. There's all kinds of loopholes in the Tenancy Act. Not only does the Tenancy Act say that rents can increase every year more than inflation, even though wages aren't increasing in that same way, even though disability payments, welfare isn't increasing in the same way. Beyond that increase, the Residential Tenancy Act also allows extraordinary increases and exceptional increases in gentrifying areas. So that's what the geographic area exemption was that the landlord at Lyons Manor applied for. So the renters' union, unlike TRAC, which is kind of a more legal body that can kind of give you advice about how to, you know, engage with the Residential Tenancy Branch and know your rights, the Vancouver Renters Union is a bit, it can give you advice on those things, but is also a political body capable of organizing renters together beyond mere legal advice.
And so I have a problem with my landlord. How do I get in touch with you all, and what does getting involved actually look like?
Well, we meet every week on Thursdays at 7. To come to a meeting, you should look at our website and find our contact. The website is vanrentersunion.org, and our contact information is there, and everyone is welcome to come to a meeting. There's no membership fee to be a part of the renters union. So that's every Thursday. And I think as we grow, we'll probably have, you know, committees and other things people can be involved in. So part of it is those weekly meetings, and then also there's buildings of people organizing on their own, and they'll connect with the renters union. And so hopefully soon it'll be a broad-based citywide movement of renters.
And so I could form my own local.
Exactly. Yeah, so the idea is that in addition to the general meetings, people will form locals and autonomous organizations within their buildings. So in the same way that, exactly, in the same way that a workplace would organize a local, building would do the same.
That was Nathan Crompton speaking with Red Eye's Peter Driftmeyer. Nathan is on the editorial collective of the civic affairs blog The Mainlander, and an organizer with the newly formed Vancouver Renters Union. You can look for more information on that project at vancouversrentersunion.org.